from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, I want to get into something that occurred over the weekend that I did, and it was the first time where I actually fully enjoyed this particular thing, and it's because of one change that they made at their establishment. And you can say it's cheating. I don't know, but we'll discuss it coming up in just a little bit. But I'm just telling you, man, I'm ready to go. Drew will like this as well. Drew does not know to bring up. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Of course, we'll be back in St. Joe tomorrow, guys. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll be back in that Comcast business tent when we're in St. Joe. But before we get into the Chiefs again, I want to talk some Royals baseball, because not only is it a huge, huge series starting tonight, as we've discussed with the Boston Red Sox, but massive. I think there was some more clarity in some way, despite how rocky Saturday was, with how the bullpen should go. In particular, I think it's so evident, and we've acknowledged some of the issues that he's had, but I think it's so evident that James McArthur is pitching at his worst level since he's been on this team.
Yes.
And they already on Saturday, they being Q, already had tried to take him out of the highest of highest leverage
spots. Because he was the fourth guy in the pen.
And he pitched in the 11th inning. So they tried Urseg. They tried Bubich. They tried Harvey.
Worked with Urseg. It did not work with Harvey and Bubich.
Correct. And so they already had adjusted their expectation for McArthur. The question now is, what do you do with the back end of the bullpen, and what do you do with McArthur? And let me just be one thing. No matter what, I don't get, you can say it's because we have the t-shirts that still trigger some of you from May. For some reason, they were t-shirts in May. I don't know why that bugs people. But DFAing him makes absolutely zero sense.
It'd be bad business. Someone earlier said to DFA Sam Long. That's also terrible.
That also
business.
Makes no sense. If you have options for both, they both have shown promise at times. That would be just a bad decision.
Sure.
Do you think they should option somebody? That's fair. That's a fair conversation. When Schreiber comes back from IL, that might, unless there's another injury that pops up, that would be potentially the move you would have to make. Maybe it is an option for McArthur at that point in time. But they still, make no mistake, they still have plans for him in their organization. I can guarantee you that.
They do, because he's still relatively early in his career. And I don't know, this is how bullpen arms work. Sometimes they're bad for two straight years, and then they dominate out of nowhere. Sometimes they dominate for two straight years and then they're not good. Less than a month ago, he had a sub-4 ERA, and over the previous calendar year was like the 20th most effective reliever in the last year in baseball. He lost it. Let's be honest, McArthur lost it. He lost whatever it was. He lost his command, his confidence, his pitch movement, whatever it is. He's going to have to refine it, which is why the obvious solution is here. Let him pitch in lower leverage until Schreiber is back. If he hasn't sorted it by then, option him to AAA, put Schreiber back on the roster, and then wait till MacArthur's found it again. It's not that complicated. It doesn't mean he's destined to a life of he's a 4A player. He was better than that for about a year. Then he lost it, and things moved on him a little bit. Versus, like, you know, I didn't even mean it as, like, they should call him up. Daniel Lynch has pitched really, really well in AAA. But at this point, you and I have, like, unfortunately for Daniel Lynch, it is, I will never, until he proves it at the big league level, if he gets back up here at some point, that he's not just a 4A player. That he's going to dominate everybody in AAA, but when he gets to the majors, there are problems. Even if he has solved something, I'm not going to think that. With MacArthur, even this year, there's been two runs in which he has been more than good. He's been, like, you know, like a top 15 to 20 closer. He's like league average closer for two different stretches this year. And the other two stretches, he was one of the league's worst. Yep. So, like, it's just how do they like quantify it and get him, like, into a stable zone? That's easier said than done.
How do you think this plays out, though? Not just with him, but the rest of the bullpen, because cue after Saturday night, when Hunter Harvey had his issues and blew his save, they went right back to him last night or yesterday afternoon. And that was after
and he got a save.
Q said they were going to, they basically, they'll use him in that up 3-1 ninth inning spot every time. And the next day, when they're up by one, they go back to him. Yesterday, he gets out of the ninth inning. He gets the save. So they're giving him the highest leverage. I know a lot of people wanted Ursig in there yesterday, not Harvey, even in the ninth inning. Ultimately, if there is going to be a point in time between now and the end of the season where anybody's going to feel good about the ninth inning, and I'll just say highest leverage, okay? Because we've discussed this eighth or ninth.
Yeah, because Ursig came in against 2-3-4.
Ursig is their best hope for that. Yes. Then the second, I would still say, is Harvey. I think it's pretty clear.
Because he can strike people out. He's average in the way a lot of the other guys are, from command and consistency and hits and all that stuff. But
because if you lay it out and it's Ursig, Harvey, Bubich, and then whether it's, you know, Long or Zerpa or you know, what that works. It should work. Sure. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. It's certainly just Ursig has been a bright spot in the very small sample size. He's got nasty stuff, just complete nasty stuff. He presents the best opportunity for it, but my guess is he's not going 12 scoreless outings in a row either.
I mean, I would be pretty surprised.
I'll be glad if he does.
But. I mean, please. I wouldn't turn it down by any means, but I think Ursig, I'm going to toss out of this conversation for a minute because, again, if there's any chance they got a high-end closer somewhere on this roster, I told you last week, put him in the highest leverage situation moving forward for the next month straight and find out if he's different than everyone else and he deserves the biggest spot every game, no questions asked. And at this point, I would just be leaning towards doing that with him anyway. Harvey, I told you, is just different in, like, the he is not a perfect pitcher. He's different in other ways. I think he's probably just as imperfect as a lot of their guys, but he throws a lot harder and he strikes people out. So he gets out of his problems more easily. That's honest to God what James MacArthur's biggest problem is. Right now, his biggest problem is he's a high-end reliever. And if he gets a guy on base, he is required to let the ball be in play to get the outs he needs.
Yeah, he's not avoiding bats at all.
Yeah, and if the ball's in play, things can go bad. That's just whether they're bad because they hit it really hard and they hit it where somebody isn't, or bad because errors can happen. Someone might not get to a ball in the gap quite the same way. When he blew a save a couple of turns ago, it was four straight hits in which it touched an infielder's glove and he still couldn't get out of it. So, I mean, it's not like they put it in play and they were just hitting rip-roaring home runs across the park, but if the ball's in play, it can go to somebody else. I think the obvious answer is put him in lower leverage, see if he can't sort through those problems with the pitching coach, and then make a decision in Schreiber. This entire time, I just figured when Schreiber came back, they were going to have to, like, maybe cut ties with Stratton or one of the other guys who were like lower on the chart. But with options, you can kind of take your time with MacArthur. And if this were a different year, MacArthur just pitching high leverage the rest of the year and you just figure it out. You just find out.
Games matter too much.
Right? Yeah. Different year, MacArthur gets to figure it out at the big league level and sort through his things. That's not been the case this year because of where they are.
Well, look, they've given him every opportunity to get, you know what I mean? Like, the leash has actually been very long, but they already made an adjustment. They were forced still to use him, though, in the extra innings because they had already, as we said, they've already gone through their guys they, quote unquote, trusted. I know that the manager will say they trust everybody. I get, but we're talking about, like, truly who's getting the highest leverage spot. And Hunter Harvey and Ursig are clearly the two guys right now for them.
Yeah, it's just, I understand. Like, Saturday never made any sense to me because people were way more mad at MacArthur because he actually technically the game was lost when he was on the mound than Harvey. I was like, are you kidding me? Harvey came in supposed to be their number one or number two relief pitcher. He came in with a two-run lead and nobody on base. I was way more frustrated with his performance that day than MacArthur's. MacArthur got his, he got hit worse. He pitched worse. But the bigger problem was that you had a two-run lead and all you had to do was get out. And the first guy hit a home run against Harvey.
Yeah.
And then he was up against it.
I was going back with some back and forth with some people on Twitter on
but I think you get the same on Saturday. Saturday. So I still don't care.
And like I do truly appreciate the back and forth. I actually do enjoy it. My frustration with Saturday was what you just outlined, though. Acknowledging, like we have plenty, by the way, that MacArthur's just simply not been good enough. He's been bad here in the last month. But ignoring the two other blown saves earlier. That was my issue, right? What it is, it's simple, Cody. Like, MacArthur's low-hanging fruit when things went bad on Saturday. He's the guy they've already been complaining about because of his struggles anyway. So that's what, he's the low-hanging fruit. I get it. That's always like that narrative was set so early in the season, Cody.
He could go so 15 straight scoreless and people would still be mad.
Yeah, I mean that before even this recent run, when he did have five straight weeks, nobody acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Five straight weeks of high quality performance. And then the one time he slipped up, people were ready to pounce. And now he's just been really bad, plain and simple. But that, I guess that's the reality of how sports work. That's fair with fans. But just that was my annoyance on Saturdays. Like, we all knew MacArthur struggled and ultimately got the loss, but just not even acknowledging the other two players ahead of time. That's all.
Yeah, it makes it because that was just a failure of the bullpen more than anything else. And that's a stark thing to look at the face. This is why you should be like that game is frustrating. Now they won a game on Sunday. They're supposed to win. So for me, it's a wash. I walk in. I feel good. Big series against the Red Sox. I'm not down on what the Royals are doing.
They won
great.
15 of 22.
I'm feeling fantastic about where the Royals are at the moment. But it felt particularly bad because you knew that was the worst part of your team. That's where they spent a huge chunk of their resources to get better at the deadline. That's where they spent the majority of their resources to get better. And then they had four different chances for someone not to blow it. First guy did great. Blow it, lose the game. So, and Bubich, right, it's relative. He gave up one run. There was a guy already starting on second base. But that's part of the job sometimes is they got the run for you. Can you strand a guy at second the way the new rules work in extra innings? That's part of the job. Yep. Every once in a while, if you're an extra innings reliever, you're going to be asked to strand somebody. That's just a pitcher's job in general. But three people had the chance to do it who couldn't do it after Urseg was successful in his job.
And tonight, hopefully Brady gives you six. You'd love to get seven, but hopefully he gives you six tonight and you can shorten what you need from the bullpen. And then I would imagine based on not pitching yesterday, if the opportunity arises, you're going to see Urseg in the highest leverage spot. Could be the eighth inning tonight.
I think so.
Could end up being, hopefully it's in the ninth and it's a save opportunity. The Royals are up by a run or two and you have a chance to slam the door on the Red Sox. That's the hope tonight. Going to be a fun one out of Kauffman Stadium. Vern's on deck show starts at 6:07:10 first pitch. We'll talk about somebody else from the weekend that once again proved even in a down year, he can still have a huge impact for this team at times. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But this past weekend, my brother-in-law and my sister, they're out of town, right? So my mom is watching.
Vacation?
Yeah, their anniversary vacation.
Oh, nice.
That's a whole other side story. Have you seen the flight and travel issues because of the hurricane and stuff? They're stuck in New York City. It's a mess.
Still stuck there?
Still stuck. So my mom's been over at their house watching two of the nephews. And so because of that, she had a bunch of like activities planned and a few things I've been taking part in as well. And so we did bowling, but we also went to Topgolf on Saturday, I guess. Whatever.
Okay, sweet.
And
that's
I've been to Topgolf
nephew
a while.
Activity.
Yeah, I've gone to Topgolf with you guys. You know, I'm terrible at golf and I'm terrible at Topgolf. I'm not good.
Little trip with Uncle Alex?
I'm awful at it. But here's the thing. I had my best experience ever, not only because my nephews were there, but they remodeled the Topgolf in Overland Park.
Okay.
And part of that remodel is they have a new club and it's called The Sure Thing. Now it is a non-conforming club, which for those that don't know, Drew,
illegal.
You can't have it in your bag if you're in a tournament or something, right?
Sure.
You can't also buy this particular club they have. It's got a little more bigger club head, more loft. You could say it's cheating. But at Topgolf, it's a genius idea, right? You want people to have fun,
to learn,
enjoying themselves, versus like, oh, golf stinks.
And
I can't
just keep
hit
shanking it.
And you're done. So I used that club the whole time. Let me tell you, I was feeling great. I was at my best Topgolf.
Does this make you want to get better at real golf?
Yes.
That's the key there.
Exactly.
It makes you like when you hit a golf shot, like in anything. When you actually hit a golf shot for real that's on your own and well, you're like, okay, I'm in.
That was the whole time. Every shot, this lofted club and everything, it was perfect.
Well, what's going to happen when you pick up a real club again, you know?
Well, it's going to be bad. But at least when I go to top, this was enjoyable. Man, I got more air under it than I ever had spin. At Topgolf, the far right, white, like one way out of it. I was actually hitting that bad boy dead on. I was feeling great.
And just one club? What's the distance on this thing?
Look up the club. It's called The Sure Thing. It's non-conforming, and it's Anybody can hit with this thing. Anybody can hit with this thing. So, yeah, I would like to see someone that can really golf hit with this thing and just see. But Cody was like dead center, too. I mean, just dead. I mean, I look great doing it with this club. So, anyway. That was Drew. You should go and try to use this club.
I'm looking at it right now.
And yes,
now.
The diehard.
It looks like a hybrid.
The diehard golfer. It's like a four wood hybrid or whatever. Like would be the equivalent, I think, with loft wise. But it's cheating, I guess. But at Top Golf, it makes sense.
A 20 degree club face. Yeah, that's
a bit. That's a bit high. I'm sure you got plenty of loft.
Yeah. It was fun though. Anybody can have fun at Top Golf if you're playing with that club.
Evidently, so
that's why they added. They worked with Callaway on this club.
According to Top Golf, though, you played with a shorter shaft.
Yeah. They had two. They had
God,
one.
I'm such a child. I'm not supposed to laugh at that. I can't.
They had two, Drew. They had two different ones. One was longer. One was short.
They optimized. I used the longer one. The shape of the club is what they said in this YouTube video. I had to. I'm sorry, but yeah, no. I think that. Exactly what you said. The fact that you use this club and you hit it great, it's the one golf shot you hit great in golf. It's not for a lot of
very
people.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, it makes you want to go back again and swing the clubs again. And then it might want you to use a regular.
But it might ruin him golf forever. He has to pick up a real golf club, and he is miserable.
I kind of want to steal this club and take it to a course.
And just like play and be like, oh my God, Gold, are you really good at golf? You got to like spray paint it. You got to hide it like someone with a course back.
I really want to steal the club.
You got to be like, look, Gold only hits his four hybrid all the time. Nobody knows why.
I would be terrible on approach shots when I had to use irons or anything like that, and putting would be awful still. But at least my shot off the tee, I would feel good. I'd at least feel good about the shot off the tee.
It would almost be funny if you're just using it from ever. Gold 60 yards out, and he's just like barely swinging. You're like, what?
It's a funny bit if you use that club. You putt with that club.
I guess the question is, if Top Golf would agree to let us use it for one day,
can I go out there?
Do you think Alex could beat you in a round, Drew? That's the only club he used.
No, no chance.
I don't think so. No. But
you think he could beat me?
No.
I'm not a very good golfer.
My drives might be better than you because they'd be fairly straight. I mean, I'm telling you, I had good control of this thing.
You'd be in the fairway.
Yeah. When I decided I wanted to, you know how there's the different Top Golf, you know, the green, red, yellow, white,
whatever.
Like I whatever I wanted, I could hit. Okay. Ooh, this club was great.
I think I need to go and try. Yeah.
If I was able to do that and you actually golf and are pretty good.
It's like when you do something well, it feels nice.
Yeah. So anyway. Shout out to Top Golf. Smart decision. You got kids going to golf for the first time. Let them feel like they can play.
I think it does make it a significantly better date spot in that scenario too.
Good call.
Because, like, nobody's being over. Like, everyone can just, and it's hitting well, and we're all competing. Mm-hmm. Like, a double date scenario, you don't feel like, because you know what it is. Some people are just jerks, and then they get, like, all mad at their girlfriend because they're, like, competing, and they just want to, like, nah, come on. Who cares if Alex and his date are winning? You know, nobody cares. It's just like, it's hitting it pretty straight. Nobody cares you use the sure thing club or anything else. Mm-hmm. And then Drew can still use the regular clubs. Are you a bring your own clubs to Top Golf guy, Drew?
Do they let you do that still?
Do they stop doing that?
I've been to Top Golf one time and I brought my clubs. It wasn't that big of it. I didn't make it. I wanted to bring my own clubs. It's not that.
I used to let you do that, but I feel like they still do. I just don't care.
I just want this sure thing club. How can I? They don't sell it. How can I get this?
Other non-conforming clubs. It's like using a court bat.
Can I get the exact same specs, please? And then I'll go golfing with you guys. If I can use this club, I'll go golfing with you.
I do think bringing your own clubs to Topgolf is not as bad as if you're like you're going putt and you're like, I got to use my putter. That's way worse.
I will say, I think you can help yourself. That is worse. I think you can help yourself because they do sell. I know for a fact they sell like non-conforming golf balls.
That's different.
Fly way straighter. Just do that.
That is cheating.
Do that. The same thing. If he's trying to go out and have fun. There's no money on the line. He just wants to come out on the course, me and you, Drew, and he just wants to enjoy his evening.
I don't need different golf balls, but the Top Golf club that they now have, it makes just at least the shot off the tee nice.
All you got to do is put a driver head cover over it or a wood head cover over it, and nobody will know.
Spray paint it so it's not green. Because it's green or light blue is like that. You got to change the shaft color.
In all honesty, if we went to go golf and you pulled out a club that had a light blue or a green shaft instead of a black one or a gray one, I wouldn't You're using a club. That might just be what the color of the shaft is. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
By the way, you're welcome, Top
Especially
Golf.
For like a non like iron set club, like an individual.
Correct.
This was a completely non-endorsed discussion here from Top Golf. You're welcome. I mean, I feel like I just brought you some new people today. Just talking about my experience at Top Golf over the weekend.
Cutting Gold is available for sponsorship, you know. You
That's
just
right.
Let us know. And if we could borrow that club for one day, we promise to shoot a video where we all go out to the course and see how Alex does with the sure thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
Smart on that. I mean, honestly, very smart of them.
I can't even argue.
At this point, they honestly should sell that. They could.
They don't want to do it
that
way. They want it. They worked with Callaway individually.
That's right.
You can only use it. I read the article, golf.com. You can only use it there. And they're an entertainment golf thing. Like, if you want to be, if you love golf and are good at golf,
you're not going to like it.
You just go to the course.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You go to the course. Top Golf is more for a casual golfer, in my opinion, or someone who's just trying to get some swings in December.
It's bowling with golf.
But for the most part, it's dating. Yeah, it's bowling, but with golf. It's folding. It's whatever. It's the, I want to play this sport, but I'm not all that good at it. We're all just here to have drinks and hang out with a group of friends. That's what it's meant for. Like, I think the last time I went, we took my grandpa for, like, his birthday and all went out there. Same thing. I had to swing the regular clubs that were there. I'd use that club. What do I care?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're
having
a good time.
I mean, unless we're betting and then we're agreeing that.
But if you're all using it, then.
Nobody gets to use it.
Can you do that? I wonder. Topgolf should take advantage of what Dave and Buster's does. You know how much money?
Oh, the betting thing?
Oh, we just bet, you know.
Just amongst your,
you can already.
You don't need to. Why give them a percentage of your bet? Just Venmo each other.
We just, we bet amongst ourselves. There's nothing really we get together as a group where there isn't something on the line.
Betting on golf is dangerous, though, because it's the competitiveness of it, but also there are some things that can go wrong that are out of your control.
I like betting on the course. My problem is I don't have a good enough handicap where you can just play like a full round. I just got to be like closest.
I'm glad you brought up this with the going last time you went up to the course. Dana Wright came up to me a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not happy with you and Dusty.
I didn't. Bail. She,
you and Dust. Remember, this was the Cody Gold garage sale. The experience. Remember the experience that somebody bid on a good amount of money to go golfing. And initially, it was going to be go golfing with Dana and Dusty.
I think the original thought was Dusty, and then maybe me,
and then maybe Cody with the winner.
Yeah.
And Dana set up the tee time at a very nice local course.
It was a private course.
Private course. And you and Dusty bail is what she told me.
She
bailed.
She's giving me a bad rap. Dusty did bail. I'm not going to deny what happened to the story.
Just throw him under the bus.
Dusty bailed. It was hot, and Dusty didn't want to go out there. And he had only been like, he had kind of been attached to it without like agreeing to be attached to it. But I was like, Dusty will go. He loves golf. So we had kind of put Dusty's name in without like being sure. So I'll give him a little bit of a leeway in there. He bailed. Our tee time was at like 1 in the afternoon on a day that was supposed to be 95 degrees. I did not bail. As you recall, I went to urgent care that Saturday for my finger. I couldn't grip a golf club.
Oh, yeah, you missed that,
Drew. I told Dana.
Cody went to an urgent care for a sore finger.
But I told her, they called it a severe sprain.
I know it can't be where it was hurting.
Yeah, so like, it got worse. And so I went to the doctor. I just couldn't grip a golf club is what it came down to. So I said, hey, Dana, I can't properly grip a golf club. I'm not going to waste your time or my time. This is where I'm in the clear. While I couldn't do it and I felt bad that I couldn't golf, I said, hey, I know I can't come. I want to make sure this guy has a good time. If you want me to, I'll come out there. I'll get a cart. I'll drink. I'll hang out. You know, like, I'm not saying I won't come out. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I can't golf.
And she didn't want to do that.
She denied that request.
Really?
She wanted people out there golfing, you know?
She's serious about golf, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I tried. I think I'm innocent.
All right. I'll be honest. I think that... It's an experience to golf, but you couldn't golf, so you still wanted to provide, I wanted to beat you. You wanted to be there to hang out. I feel like that at least on your part, was good. I don't blame you. You have no blame.
Yeah.
Dusty just straight up bailed.
I was injured.
What you're saying?
Dusty did not like.
I know that
Dusty tried to get them, and Dusty tried to just get Dana to move the tee time.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be like 93 degrees when we teed off. It was going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's tough. What time was the...
Like 1:40, dude.
Oh, that is...
It was a pretty rough time. It was a pretty rough time. But Dana managed to survive, and so did the winner. Thank you for your donation. I apologize for not being there. I was hurt. Dana probably told you wrong things about why I ditched. Please donate other things.
I think she ended up having like her son or son's friend who's really good at golf or something participate in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I probably had a better time. That was one of the requirements. You had to...
be a...
Not me with my 26 handicap. He would probably have way more fun with this kid.
Take that club out there, man. Take that club and you would have been fun.
Oh, Dana, if she...
she would have been
not
pissed.
Not that she would have investigated, so but if she found out that you were using that club, she would have not been happy.
It would be funny to like be like, Dane, I'm not really good, so I'm gonna need a stroke a hole because like I'm a plus 20, you know, 20 or more handicap, and then I just get those golf balls that only fly straight. And I'm just using this club in which it only like it's just the easiest thing ever, just dotting the fairways.
You're just taking money left and right.
I'd just give it to her back at the end, but it'd be funny to make her sweat for a minute.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending and one player that, even though it's been a struggle this season, has come up in some big time spots. What that could mean if this team gets to the postseason. That's next on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold. Make sure to follow the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals kick off a big series against the Red Sox tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Brady Singer gets the first nod in this massive series, massive wild card implications, and also the Royals trying to keep pace with the Guardians. They're now five back in the AL Central. 7:10 first pitch, Vern's on deck show, 6 o'clock right here on your home for the Royals, 610 Sports Radio.
Can't wait. Really exciting series. You going out for this one tonight?
Not tonight, potentially tomorrow. Not going to go out there tonight, I don't think. You going? Are you saying you're going?
I'm thinking about it maybe tonight. I don't have my daughter's dance starts back up later this week.
Today's more, you're right. Tonight wouldn't be the worst because tomorrow we're in St. Joe and everything, and so you're going to be outside all day. And maybe you don't want to go tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tonight could be a good one.
The sitting outside part, certainly a big deterrent at the moment, as it most recently sits. Next up on Watch Training, speaking of Cam, update from there. There were a couple of, I don't know, not haymakers. Tranquil had to be held back by Mahomes. It's just a normal stuff. I'd make a bigger deal about it, but it's not a big deal in my opinion. And I think that that's a huge portion of why I wouldn't make a huge deal about it. But obviously a little bit of stuff there. Nope, Tony was back on practice field for a little bit. Justin Watson was back in the practice field for a little bit. Nazee Johnson was back. Still no Nick Bolton and the other names who are on the injured list that you would expect. Hopefully Bolton would be back soon. I don't want to be out with him too long. Obviously they're what? 5 days away from a preseason game now. That's just around the corner. Other than that, Gruden was back out of camp for a little bit again.
It is so weird seeing Chucky in Chiefs red. It just is. I kind of like it in a weird way. Like, Well, yeah, this guy was on the Raiders and all that. And now he's joined. He just wants to be around the best people. No, he was just there because his buddy Andy Reid's the head coach and they're good friends. And it doesn't hurt to have him watching a couple practices. He's not going to be a head coach in the NFL ever again. No. So it's not. He, as we said, we looked it up again. He is now a consultant for the Milan Siemen football team.
I don't know if that's permanent, but he at least held that position at least one time.
Next up on Watch Trending, the Olympics continues in Paris. A couple updates today. Simone Biles, unfortunately, did not medal in the balance beam. She did fall off at one point during her routine. She did get a silver in the floor routine. Plus, from the weekend, we all saw perhaps yesterday the news, Noah Lyles, the fastest man in the world, picking up a gold medal in the men's 100-meter dash by 0.05 of a second. Also, Scottie Scheffler wins gold golfing at the Olympics, as I believe the U.S., no other country has ever won Olympic gold in golf. Is that correct? Just the U.S., just the United States, I believe that's right? At least recently?
Yes, I think recently.
That sounds right.
So is it all time or recently only? I thought only the U.S. had been winning that Olympic gold.
I think it's all time. That's the first time maybe they didn't win it. I don't remember. There was the 4x100 relay that they've never lost in, that they eventually lost in the medal. So now I don't remember which one's which. Might get a little mixed up. Currently, the U.S., by the way, has 75 total medals, second in golds at 19 versus 21 for China. Next up on Watch Trending, Puka Nacua officially listed as week to week with a knee injury, according to Adam Schefter. Right now, they're calling the injury not serious, but you know it is. The closer and closer you get to the regular season, the more those injuries start to freak you out a little bit. But they're not making it sound like he's going to miss time at this stage, Alex. We'll see. But at least currently listed as week to week is Puka Nacua. That's a fun name to say.
Puka Nacua. Yeah. It looks like on the golf.
Were you agreeing with me, Drew? Just a fun name to say.
Because golf hasn't been in the Olympics very often. So they're out of the
Justin Rose.
Yeah, three of the five times it's been in the Olympics, it's gone to the U.S. But Justin Rose won in 2016. But from 1906 to 2012, men's golf was not in the Olympics. But back-to-back golds for the U.S.
Pretty good. And, of course, Scheffler won it.
That's what's trending.
Literally almost everything this year. Yeah.
So I correct my statement on never another cup, but only in the five times that men's golf has been in the Olympics, the U.S. has won gold three.
Someone asked, has there been any updates on Justin Reed? No, they've been incredibly hush-hush about his injury. He's not in the practice field. They've never really said what the non-football injury to his quad was. I'll just tell you what I heard 2 weeks ago, which was, I don't think you'll see him at all during camp. I don't think you'll see him at all during a preseason game. I think there would be a threat he would miss week one of the regular season, but that is not a guarantee. That's what I heard 2 weeks ago, and I do not think that that has changed much. I think you have to be a little scared he might miss the beginning of the season, but that's not a sure thing yet. But I don't think you're going to see him at camp, and I don't think you're going to see him at
preseason.
Definitely
not camp.
Well, camp's over in like
camp.
A week and a half.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be camp.
Yeah.
One other just note in the NFL today, the depth charts across the NFL, similar how it is in Kansas City, usually they're right at this point done by the media. But in Cincinnati, now that Joe Mixon was traded to the Texans this offseason, Zach Moss right now listed as the starting running back for Cincinnati.
Not what's the rookie that everyone kind of likes
Brown,
over there?
Brown,
right?
Chris Brown, Chad Brown,
Chase Brown is in.
Chase Brown,
he's in his second year.
Definitely not Chris Brown.
Yeah,
Chase Brown.
Don't call that.
He had the fastest track speed last year, other than Tyreek Hill, I think, in the league. So he's quick,
but still losing to Zach Moss, who's slow.
Well, they also had Mike Gesicki behind Drew Sample in the depth chart, which is not going to happen shouldn't happen.
It's one of those. And it's weird. Not media's different because it's making it sound like GoldenEye are making the. It's PR staffs who make the like initial depth charts. But also, they just like to screw with people. They just do. Or like one guy's had a better practice, so they like to be like, "You've earned it. You're number one on the depth chart." Nobody cares. Do you play when the time comes on? When that moment hits? Are you a valuable member to the franchise? Someone said it's men's swimming, by the way, the 4x100 that the U.S. had never lost. I think that they now have lost it.
Gotcha. Also, as we were talking, Noah Lyles just secured his spot for the men's 200-meter final. So he just
that's his
final.
Main event. Like, he is a 200 guy that became the 100 specialist. So he should win that one.
913-586-7610. We were talking about Drew. It's good to have Drew back on the show. He was gone for a week, Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Other than being upset about where his tent was allowed or cabana was allowed on the beach and everything, still wanted to know, did you actually get in the water? Because before you left on Friday, we were talking about the water, and you said you would never get in a lake, which was mind-boggling to me. You would never get in the lake at the Ozarks even or anything. Correct. And so we were talking about the ocean, and did you actually get in the water at
every day?
Every day, okay.
So some days it was like ice bath cold. It felt very cold. But I was,
was it hot outside?
It was hotter here than it was there. It was like low to mid 80s.
That sounds beautiful, actually.
It was great.
Did you see later this week? Oh, it's going to be a great weekend to go to camp if you're going to be up at camp. Although they have it's because of the preseason game, there's not the Thursday, Friday. But
evidently you guys survived, but wasn't it supposed to be like in the hundreds towards the end of the last week?
Yeah, we did. We ended up working out. I have to give you props for one thing, Drew. What did you mention on the show a couple times when I was giving you a hard time for the name? When we were up there, it was hot, and you're like, hey, you should get one of these.
Frog Tog. Mm-hmm. Oh, you bought one?
I bought a couple cooling towels for Cody and I. They're nice. They're pretty nice.
He did, yeah. You actually should have given him credit for that.
That's a good gift.
I only used it the one time, but they felt good.
Not bad, man.
Kind of looks stupid, but, you know, I don't really care about it.
Nice green.
What color?
Green. Neon.
Neon green? Yeah.
I just got
they sell different colors?
Yeah, but for whatever reason, the only one I could get overnighted from Amazon in time for the show was the green ones.
And neon green is the classic, I think.
Yeah, it works nice. And it's weird if you leave it out, though, now, if you leave it out, it turns into almost like paper mache until you wet it again. It's really bizarre. Like it totally
crusts up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys got them, and I'm glad that they were useful because those are long days playing out in the sun and doing tournaments for baseball or whatever, like in between innings or when it's hot.
We just drank water out of the jug when I was a kid, you know. We didn't have all these frog togs, Drew.
Sorry.
We just drank water out of there,
and you just
dealt with it.
I thought you were about to say drink just water out of the hose.
Oh, we definitely
That's
did that
the
too.
Best water.
There was a viral video that was
water.
The most water. Accurate thing I've ever seen for a while. Because somebody was asking questions like, "You guys keep talking about how you drank out of the hose," and they're like, "Why? You just didn't have like a family?" Said, "We weren't allowed inside.
Yeah, you had to stay outside.
Like that wasn't. We weren't. It's not that we were forbidden from drinking regular tap water when we were inside. You drank out of the hose because you were not welcome inside during that time. You were to be outside. We also I just wanted to be outside at that time. I didn't have all the like people
video
always talking
games
about
and stuff.
I didn't have an. I didn't have. Look, if I had had an iPad at that time, I imagine that might have been my preference.
Somebody asked if I brought out the Scottish accent. I actually did, and my brother said it was great. Said it was.
Where
good.
Did you use the Scottish accent in North Carolina?
We were talking about golf a little bit, and it just came up that they were just at the Open, and that's where I started rattling.
You gave
them
your Scottish accent.
Royal Troon. What was it again?
Royal Troon.
Yeah,
the Open Championship.
Back to the Royals.
Massive series tonight. Let us know if you're going out to the K.
Yeah. I, one thing from the weekend, too, though, that occurred, and I think it's very fair to say this has been a disappointing and frustrating season from MJ Melendez, specifically at the plate. The one thing that has kept him on the roster, I think, ultimately, has been his defense. But he has had moments like Sunday, where in a pinch hit spot, he's kept either the team in the game or won it like he did yesterday with a 3-run home run. He still has had that ability in a pinch hit spot. And that opportunity, if this team gets into the postseason, they now have at least one or two guys that you feel a little bit better off the bench if you need that big time hit. That's not something they had. And I know MJ's in the lineup most days anyway.
He is. I mean, he plays a huge majority of the time. This is what you're seeing is why the Royals have been, I would say, maybe even to a fault, patient with MJ Melendez. They have given him greater rope than any player I've seen since Mike Moustakas. They are willing to, because there was times with Mike Moustakas, like, what are you doing here? And Mike Moustakas got sent down.
He did.
Like, he actually had to go down to the minors.
And then if I remember right, they had to call him right back up to an injury, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got called up pretty quick. It wasn't the one that, like, Giordano was the one who, I don't even know if he got on the highway before
That's right.
he got
That's
called
what I'm
back.
Thinking of.
But Mike Moustakas, I mean, he came back pretty quick. It wasn't like he wasn't down long in the course of this. MJ's still not, like, hitting tremendous. In July, he hit .235. You're like, well, that's an improvement over what he had hit, but he still had a sub .270 on base percentage. He still had a you know, a sub 800 slug, but it was quite a bit better than it had been. He was essentially what we talk about with Paul DeJong, where, like, come in and hit a homer for you every once in a while. They're patient with him for the exact reasons we keep seeing. MJ Melendez, on at least five occasions this year, has come up with a really big hit for this team, last night included. The swing between tie that series after you got the first two games of that series an absolute, you pooped the bed on Saturday, to you end up winning the series anyway and win a game you weren't supposed to win because MJ came to a big hit, is why I think, and why I'm willing to, why they've been willing to be patient on MJ Melendez. He has come up in big spots multiple times. There's no reason why he can't have Mike Moustakas' career trajectory, which is have a couple of games that finally give you your confidence back. As a reminder, and everybody knows this by now, Mike Moustakas, in the year they first went to the World Series in 2014, he hit .212 that year. He was not a good player.
And just, then the postseason just opened up.
And it just changed his entire career.
It did, and that's the special thing about the postseason, right? I mean,
yes.
Legacies can be changed forever, good and bad, I guess. At times, we've seen that in sports history too, unfortunately, on the negative side of it, for how you don't perform in the postseason. But that's where, if this team gets into the postseason, and I know you do as well, I really believe they're going to be in the postseason. I think it'll be as a wild card, but they're going to get in the dance. I really think that we've seen enough from this team and what they get from their starting pitching in particular. You get there, though. One, anything can happen. We've seen that play out. But also for individual players, it can completely change how you're viewed in your city, but also your own career arc and trajectory based off, for whatever reason, something can click all of a sudden. And you're renewed confidence.
They went into 2015 hitting him second, and everyone's like, what? Right? I mean, do you remember like the turnaround? It really can't. I'm going to give you a stat, Gold, to prove one thing about him. That he is a massive swing player for whether the Royals win or lose. And you're like, but how? They've got starting pitching and Bobby and Vinny and Sal. We talked about the middle of the order. Here are MJ Melendez splits when the Royals win and when they don't, if you're curious about the difference. When the Royals win, MJ Melendez is hitting .228 with a .295 on base percentage and an .801 OPS. All very respectable numbers. 11 home runs in 46 games. 15 walks in those same 46 games to just 36 strikeouts. So striking about once per game, not twice. In the games that they lose, 42 games, almost the exact same number of games, he's hitting .155 with a .204 on-base percentage and two home runs. And he struck out in those games 43 times. If you're just curious, is MJ having a good day today? Did the Royals win today? Like, that's honest to God part of, like, he's a massive swing player for them. Those numbers are jarringly different. And just last night's a perfect example. When he's going, the lineup's deeper, they're better offensive, not just his own career. This team this year relies on MJ Melendez still, whether you want him to or not.
I know people didn't like the lineup heading into yesterday, but ultimately, look pretty, you know, in the bottom of the ninth, or the top of the ninth, I guess, would have been with all the pinch hit. Multiple guys off the bench throughout that inning. Also had Isbell comes in a pinch run. You know, Freddie Fermin was leading off. We didn't really talk about that today.
Yeah, Freddie Fermin, they did that once or twice.
It's not typically what any, you know, you would have considered, but
he's hitting really well.
They're still trying to figure out who that guy can be. But Freddie Fermin, I will say this about him too. Give him some props. It seems like whenever he's in the lineup, though, man, tell me how many games have you gone through when he's been in the lineup, actually, where he hasn't gotten a hit? I mean, it seems, you know, or come up with a big moment, a big play, even at the plate. It seems like he's just truly an all-around really good player that doesn't probably get enough love because he's not an everyday player for this team, even though he's played a ton this year.
Yeah, Fermin's done. He is an everyday player at this point. How many games has he played?
Yeah.
They've played 113 games. I'm going to guess Freddie Fermin's played like 100 of them at this point.
Yeah, there's very, very few times you can't keep his bat out of the lineup. That's frankly part of it too.
He's a good catcher.
Where are we at here? I was trying to get the exact total. 72.
Okay. I mean, but it's been even more than, like, I will bet out of the last 80 games he's played in 7. You know, like, I'll bet that number has increased as the season goes on. He's hitting .305 with a .354 on base percentage. Like, you really can't. Like, you really can't leave him out of the lineup.
He's a bit, when you look at some of the other areas where they've struggled at times in the lineup, that bat is one you really do need to have out there.
Truth is, it's not even like a fluke. He's now played 145 games for the Royals. His career numbers are .288 with a .333 on base percentage and a near .800 OPS. This is who he is. It's not even that he's just having a great year.
Great story too, because he's, you know, he's 29 years old. He didn't get into the majors until he was 27, and that was only for three games. So really, last season was the first year he got an opportunity. Truly,
good organizations find ways. This is I don't know how many times, 1,000 times maybe in this show or on the time I've been in the air. When you know an organization's really going well, and I always use the Cardinals as an example because they did this for like 15 straight years. They stink more this year, although they're still competitive.
They're battling for a wild card themselves.
They would always call up. Cardinals, but other good teams. They would always call up some dude I've never heard of who was like, 28 years old. And he'd been in the minor league's entire career. And then for like the 3 months they'd call upon him, dude would hit like 310 and have like a 800 OPS. And you're like, I don't even know who this person is. How are they effective? Royals are doing that. Well, you know, Freddie Freeman, it's not like a play. I can promise you, never spent a single second breaking down the minor league prospects of what Freddie Freeman might do when he came up to the big leagues. And he's been a really, really good player for them. That's what good organizations do. But yeah, the MJ thing, they gave Moose rope, impossible amounts of it. And with MJ, to a point, like at times this year, I'm like, are you sure you want to just like, does he deserve this much leeway? But the big hits bring me back. Last night, a massive one. Also, boy, he does not get cheated when he hits a homer, does he?
No, it's like usually when he gets no doubters. And then the call, obviously, on 610, but then even on the TV side, I am enjoying it. And Hud apologized. I don't know why, but he, you know, Hud's
this is part of his shtick.
Every home run now, whether it was the Bobby Witt Jr. won the other day, the grand slam.
One, he might have made that sound before Bobby hit.
Yeah, that was, but it's very similar where it's like right away, just the natural fan reaction. I think that's what we love when we hear like that's what you appreciate about Hud. So then I know later in the broadcast, he like apologized for me. I'm like, no, man, that be you. I think that's what makes it fun.
We know it's watching or listening to a Royals broadcast. If at the second somebody hits it, you're the first person who knows it because you hit it with a, because that's what Hud does. He makes some sort of sound every time somebody just absolutely squares a pitch up.
I don't know if this is the radio call or the TV call, though. This was the grand slam from earlier from last week. But
and here's Bob.
That's
another one.
And like Eisenberg's call was really good, too. But I was trying to find the Rex Hudler. But you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That adds to it. It's actually kind of fun.
I completely agree.
I think most people, and so I don't know.
I think it's just also who Rex Hudler is. Anytime somebody's on radio, on television, does a show like this, and maybe this is because this is never how our show's been, I think it comes off as disingenuous if you try to act like somebody you aren't. Rex Hudler, when he just makes those guttural sounds, I'm pretty sure that that's what he would have been doing had he been sitting in a dugout as a teammate of that player. I imagine Hud on a rail is in playing to the, guy just hit it. Like, that's just how he acts. And you and I could, like, I think that's because that's how I think. I don't think every show on the planet is like this, but I think that's how our show is. If anyone's like, hey, does Cody act the way he does off air as he does on the air? What would you tell him?
Yeah, of course.
I can't.
Yeah, you know. I would like to think that that's how we all approach it.
Yeah, I don't think everybody in our industry approaches it that way, but I think it's a better way to go about it.
To me, when you're on radio for 20 hours a week, you can't fake it.
You can't pretend to be
something. If you're on long enough, you can't fake it.
And if you do for a while, people will figure it out.
Yeah, you have to just be...
They will expose you as a fraud.
Your personality is the same on air or off air. I mean, I think that's how I know we both approach it, and I continue to approach it that way.
Texan agrees. Love Rex. So passionate. Rex is just raw, but I love it. Rex, nice, most positive announcer ever. He's just like a positive dude. He just wakes up with a smile.
Royals, Red Sox. Big boy series starts tonight. Brady Singer on the bump. 7:10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 6. We're back at it tomorrow. We're going to be in St. Joe tomorrow back at Chiefs training camp, which means we should have a member of the Chiefs joining us on site. If you're making it up to camp, come by. Say hello. You know, we're kind of wedged in there between the stands and that big hill. You'll find us. Especially by the Kona Ice. Just behind the Kona Ice.
By Hy-Vee, behind the Kona Ice.
Either spot. We'll be there. All right, guys. Have a good rest of the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.